Welcome to AM Best Audio.
I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio, and we're speaking today to AM Best director Anne Modica. Anne, as always, a pleasure to speak with you.
Nice to see you as well, John.
So, Anne, first quarter GDP was recently released. What does it tell us about the economy activity for the first quarter?
So U.S. economic growth contracted by 0.3%, which is the first economic contraction the U.S. has experienced in 3 years. And the result really did catch many analysts off guard, and because it came in well below the consensus forecast of 0.8%. And the downturn, I think, was particularly surprising given the strength of the economy at the end of 2024, when momentum heading into the new year appeared to be relatively solid. The primary driver of the decline was a sharp surge in imports as businesses kind of rushed to bring goods into the country ahead of the new tariffs. They were feeling that the higher cost that would result in the future. And so while the tariffs haven't taken full effect yet, the anticipation as well as the uncertainty did cause import activity to jump by over 40%. And this resulted not only in the largest drag on growth, but also created among the largest trade deficits on record. But while the contraction might prove to be more temporary, it might be an import-driven related shock, it does raise broader concerns. So ongoing tariff uncertainty, whether through policy implementation or through the knockoff effects that it might have on sentiment, could have a lasting impact on the economy through business investment, consumer expectations, and household spending. And if demand also falters, if global demand also falters, these headwinds could contribute to a more economic slowdown both here in the U.S. and globally.
Interesting. Anything else we should know or that you'd like to tell us?
Imports are not the whole story here to the slowdown. If we look at consumer spending, which is the primary engine of U.S. economic growth, that also decelerated, despite consumers going out and boosting purchases in items such as electronics, equipment, and vehicles ahead of the tariffs. And this front-loading of spending suggests that a potential pullback in consumer spending is just around the corner in subsequent quarters. And moreover, I've been talking about this for a while, consumer sentiment has deteriorated significantly since the beginning of the year. And this trend might also further dampen spending going forward, especially if economic conditions weaken and the unemployment rate begins to rise. If tariffs are fully implemented, these also put pressures on household demand. These are likely to intensify due to the spike in prices and a decrease in purchasing power. And then the only other thing I'll mention here is government spending also slowed this quarter, no surprise, right? Due to the cuts in discretionary spending, which reduced the reductions in federal employment, as well as reductions in defense spending.
So, Anne, we talk about the Fed a lot, the Federal Reserve.
Yes, we do.
What does all this mean for the Fed?
So the Fed finds itself in a particularly challenging position. The recent signs of slowing economic growth are really emerging, I think, at a sensitive time with inflation. I mean, they've been battling inflation for years now. It's proving sticky and persistent, and it has remained above the Fed's target of 2%. And this is even accounting for the potential inflationary effects of the new tariffs. So now the economy also appears to be slowing, and tightening the Fed funds rate to combat inflation risks could exacerbate this economic slowdown. Conversely, easing policy to support economic growth could reaccelerate inflation, which they also don't want. Even if the Fed decides to look through these tariffs as temporary price spikes, these higher prices, they still erode income, and more importantly, and this is very important, could become more entrenched in consumers' inflation expectations. And we've already seen that happen. Consumer expectations for inflation has been soaring recently, in my opinion, and they believe that inflation will be 5% over the next 12 months. And if these expectations continue to rise, it might be something the Fed can't ignore anymore. The Fed's next meeting is on May 7th, and I think consensus is that the rate change appears unlikely at this particular time. The FOMC has really been in a wait and see. They're waiting for more of a clearer trend, I think, to emerge among all this current volatility. They are emphasizing data dependence, I think, in their decision and how they have been doing it in previous decisions. But I do think Powell's press conference is really must-see TV, and I think it should be closely watched for any indication about the future of policy direction.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
All right, we're going to talk about something called supply shocks in just a second. Before we do, could you define exactly what supply shocks are?
So, yes, a supply shock happens when the supply of a good is kind of choked off. We kind of saw it during the COVID-19 pandemic when supply chains were constrained, and it's typically looked at as a temporary problem. So sometimes the Fed will look past it because they consider it transitory.
How does the Fed typically handle supply shocks?
So let's look back in history, right? So if we look, there are two distinct supply shocks differing significantly in scope, I think, that are really worth examining in these current conditions. So if we go all the way back to the 1970s, the oil price embargo, it caused a sharp rise in prices. And initially, the Fed attempted to cut rates to support economic growth. Unfortunately, this resulted in inflation spiraling. Consumer expectations on inflation became unanchored during that point. Their one-year expectations for inflation reached double digits at around 10%. And eventually the Fed had to act, with Paul Volcker at the helm. He raised interest rates sharply, but he had to restore stability and re-anchor those inflation expectations. But, I mean, it came at a huge cost. This aggressive tightening, I think, got the federal funds rate close to 20%. Right now it's at 4.25. So just to kind of give you the difference in scope there. And like I said, it really took a toll on the economy, and the U.S. went into a very significant recession following that. If we look, the other more recent supply shock occurred during Trump's first term when he, initially imposed the tariffs on China, which it did lead to an inflationary uptick. But in this instance, the Fed was able to look past the tariffs as transitory and decide to cut rates to shield the economy from any potential further weakness. In this particular instance, inflation remained within the Fed's target, and expectations surrounding inflation remained anchored. And that's very important. But I want to have a couple of takeaways from this. I think there are a few key distinctions between these two supply shocks. And the first is the underlying economic conditions of the economy when these shocks happened. If we look at the oil price embargo shock, the U.S. economy was already under strain. If you looked at it then, it would have been characterized by elevated inflation and slowing growth. In contrast, the 2018-2019 tariff period occurred during a time of relative economic strength, right? We had solid GDP growth, high business and consumer confidence. Inflation was near the Federal Reserve's target. I actually think it might have even been below. And we had a really strong labor market. And so here's the difference, right? Scale and reach. So the oil price shock was global in nature, right? And had a significant scale. Which contributed to a widespread economic downturn in the U.S. as well as globally. In comparison, the 2018-2019 tariffs were much narrower in scope, more localized, and they were primarily impacting U.S.-China trade relations as well as just select sectors. Assessing the potential impact on these newly proposed tariffs, particularly given their stated scale and scope, I think will really present a significant challenge for the Federal Reserve, especially amid an already elevated period of economic volatility and uncertainty. And like I said, I think the Fed has a tough road ahead this year.
Okay, May 7th coming up. Can't wait to hear what you have to say post that day. Anne, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you, John. Always nice to talk to you.
That was Director Anne Modica, and I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.